you guys. You know, that song's a great lead-in to what we're going to be talking about tonight. Last week, we started talking about questions and the fact that for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about answering, I guess, tough questions, if you will. And last week, we asked the question, how do we know that God exists? Because that's something that has been asked a lot, and that's what this series is going to be about, the IDK, I don't know. It's going to be about those tough questions that you get asked, or maybe that you have when it comes to God, when it comes to our faith, when it comes to different things that just leave us going, I don't know. And so how do we answer that? How do we answer those questions? Last week we talked about how do we know God is real, and we talked about the evidence that is all around us for the existence of God, that all around us there is evidence for the existence of God. And knowing that and seeing those things, seeing the universe, seeing the earth, seeing each other, seeing the way that things are put together just so perfectly that we can see clearly that there's got to be a creator, there's got to be a designer. You don't look at a car and think that a bunch of metal randomly fell together and happened to have a perfect paint job and wow, this works. Like, nobody thinks that. You look at a car and you realize that intelligent design was behind that, putting that together. And so we had to start there, though, if we're going to answer some of these other questions that we're going to look at throughout this series. We have to start with, how do we know God exists? Or how do I answer that question when I'm asked that? And so this week, I told you guys that we would be getting into this question, why do bad things happen to good people? And I'm going to start with this from the perspective of, because last week I asked you guys to pretend you were an atheist, whether you actually were or not, and to let me talk to you, talk you through maybe proving the existence of God in some ways. And so this week I'm starting with the assumption that that we at least believe that there is a God. And so if you believe that there is a God, because I've heard it asked this way many, many times, if God is there and we believe that God is there and he is an all-loving, all-powerful God, then why do bad things happen to good people? I know I've been asked that question. I'm sure you've been asked that question, or maybe I would be willing to bet that a majority of you have actually asked that question yourself in some ways, maybe in regards to things that have happened to you. Tragedy is all around us. We see cancer. We see car accidents. We see divorce. We see families ripped apart. We see natural disasters. And we see these things. And I guess I want to start with this idea is that every single topic that maybe you're thinking of when you think of this, quote, bad things, every single thing in there, it would take an extremely long time to dive into every single individual thing. And so in some ways, I'm going to answer this question from kind of a blanket perspective, because you can't really get into a ton of specifics, because there are some things that are really tough to answer in a lot of ways. So what I'm really going to cover tonight are like the principles, the blanket principles of understanding what theologically would be called the problem of evil. Okay, so why does evil exist? And so if we believe that there is a transcendent being that exists outside of time and space, okay, if we believe that, meaning like if time and space didn't exist, for that to be created, something had to exist outside of that, right? You following me there? So if we believe that that is God, okay, and that God wants to know you and wants to be known, and that he loves you and logically wants to then be involved in your life or is involved in your life, and then he's involved in the different things that are going on, and then we look at this and we know that we have free will, we know that we're not robots. The Bible talks about that, and I don't think any of you would argue that, you know, you came here tonight, hopefully, out of your own free will. But we look at all this pain and suffering, and it can be natural to ask God, why do bad things happen? And the truth is, let me start with this right off the bat. I'll kind of tell you the end in some ways right now. God is not the source of these things, of these, quote, bad things. And he's given us, I guess, kind of a solution, because he wants to take our bad situations and he wants to turn them into something good and something beautiful. And so I'm really going to answer this question tonight from a personal perspective, okay? I'm going to answer from a personal perspective of when bad things happen to us specifically. I would think probably all of us in here can think of bad things that have happened to you that have made you go, God, why? God, why? Like, really? And you ask that. And I don't know everything that's gone on in here. I know that there are probably some terrible things that have happened in your life. I can think of a couple in particular for me. And some of you have maybe heard bits of this story, but I'm just going to give you the real quick Cliff Notes version of it. When I was 19, I was engaged. And it was not to my wife. It was to a girl that I'd been dating for 2.5 years. And that relationship was not anywhere close to what you would call a godly relationship. It was based on all physical and all of that stuff. And actually, I proposed to her in this building, up in a room right over there. I sang an NSYNC song to her, and I had the ring and a rose, and I proposed to her. And yeah, you can chuckle all you want, that's fine. But at the same time, that entire relationship was all based on physical, and it was not right because I was growing. I grew up here, and so I knew how to walk through like I was the good little Christian boy. I knew what to say, who to say, how to say it, and all of those things. But this relationship did not have God in the center of it at all, because I would come here and I would sing on the stage, and then I would go home and I would have sex with my girlfriend, and I would walk around here with her like she was a trophy and all of that stuff, and it was completely and utterly, to be honest, it makes me sick to think about it, to be quite honest, the way that happened. And then, for whatever reason, after I proposed, which, let me just say, she was still, like, she had just graduated high school. She was 18. I was not smart. Guys are dumb. Amen?
Amen.
So, right? Don't get engaged when you're 19. You're an idiot. All right, I'm just saying. And I can say that from personal experience, all right? But it was not smart. So anyways, right after that happened, for whatever reason, all of a sudden then I decide I'm gonna start being a good spiritual leader. And so I decided right after then, you know what? Let's wait, and we're not gonna do anything physical anymore until we get married. Well, that didn't really fly necessarily with her, and we started growing apart. Now, I was going to college at the time. I was going to Pittsburgh, Art Institute of Pittsburgh, and I came home every weekend for two reasons: to see her and to work. And that was the order in which I came home for. That was my priority list, to see her and go to work. And I'll never forget Friday the 13th, August 13th, 1999. It was a Friday the 13th. I was supposed to go on a date with her. And we had grown apart, and I hadn't really talked to her, you know, a whole lot that week, and, you know, you could start to, like, sense things. I had trust issues anyway. Well, she never showed up. Couldn't get a hold of her. Tried calling her. Couldn't get a hold of her. Tried paging her. Yes, we had pagers. She wouldn't answer back. So I jumped in my car and went looking for her, and I found her at the Barberton bowling alley. I found her car there. Her mom worked in the bar. So I walked in there, and I walked into the bar, and I'll never forget this, and I walk in, and I turn left, and there's this dude that I've never seen before, still, and have it to this day. She's sitting on his lap in a tank, like really skimpy tank top, and she had the ring on, you know. I knew exactly what was going on. Come to find out, she'd been cheating on me for a long time. And that day, I consider the best worst day of my life. In many ways, because it was terrible. It ripped me apart in so many ways. And there were a whole lot of things. Over the next 6 months, I was in a form of depression, if you will. I lost a whole lot of weight. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. You know, and some of you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say this. You have that knot in your stomach that you just can't get rid of. Your mind won't shut off. The loudest times of the day are when you're laying in bed staring at the ceiling going, God, why? And the fact of the matter is, that brought me to a place that caused me to doubt God's goodness. There was a whole lot wrong with that, on my part. But it was a defining moment for me because it caused me to question a lot. It caused me to ask this question: God, why would you let this happen? And then I think on the other side of it, you know, a few years ago, having these are just a few various things that to me are tragedies in my life, or things that make you go, God, why? Sitting at the bedside of one of my kids not knowing what was going on. When Link had salmonella, we had no idea what was going on with his belly. We were thinking cancer. We were thinking all kinds of different things, and we had no idea, and the doctors had no idea. God, why? You know, he was like, I don't know, what, two? Something like that. Or when he had to have this procedure done, and I had to hold him down while the doctors were doing this procedure, and he's looking at me and going, Daddy, make him stop. Those are times that make you go, God. And granted, those are mine. And I understand some of you are going, Jay, that's nothing. And it breaks my heart that all of us have had to go through things that we consider tragedies. Some of you in here are probably going, Jay, I would love to take that because that's my best day in some way, shape, or form. And so I'm not trying to glorify or say my day is better or worse than or whatever. My point is that there are tragedies, and there are things that go on that make us ask that question. God, why would you let this happen? Why do bad things happen? Maybe for you, it's a family member that lost the battle to cancer. It's divorce that has ripped your family apart. It's somebody said something really hurtful, and it's just like torn you apart emotionally and mentally. All of those kinds of different things. You turn on the news and you see all the pain and suffering, and you see the natural disasters and war and murder and people getting shot up in Vegas and all of that stuff. And you're going, God, why do bad things happen all over the place? It just doesn't seem right. And you know what? It isn't. And the Bible backs that up. It's not right. Things are not the way they're supposed to be. And so to answer this question, I'm going to answer it in kind of three different explanations, all right? And again, these are like principles in many ways, principle explanations. And so the first one, explanation number one, is we live in a broken world. And this is kind of, like I said, a blanket answer, and it's not a cop-out answer. It's the truth. We live in a broken world. The first reason is because things are not perfect, and they were supposed to be. God created them perfect. God created everything with no sin, no death, no pain, no evil, and Adam and Eve decided to disobey God. It honestly all goes back to then. And since then, humans have continued to turn their back on God, and that's you and that's me, because we still sin to this day. The first sin, it continued and it built and it resulted actually in four key different relationships being broken. And these are those relationships. Relationships with God, relationships with ourselves, relationships with others, and with the world. And here's the deal, guys. There's like 7,000 something promises in the Bible. And that's pretty cool to think about, that there are that many promises to us in the Bible. One of them that people don't like to talk about is this one that Jesus gives us. He says, in this world you will have troubles. In John chapter 16, verse 33. Some bad things are going to happen in our life. We're going to experience trouble. Jesus promised that to believers. Things are not always going to be awesome. And it's simply from the result of a fallen, broken, sin-filled world. And you think about that Vegas shooter, for example, and you're going, okay, you know what? Sometimes other people's poor choices affect innocent people and affect those around us. Remember when we talked about Jonah, and you talk about the guys on the ship or on the boat that he was on, and how his rebellion to God's authority, that we all do, we all rebel against God's authority in some way, shape, or form, and that can sometimes affect other people who, quite frankly, don't deserve it. But was that God's fault? No. Does it mean it's God's will? Well, of course not. That guy made a choice, and here's the deal, guys. Sidebar for a second. Our actions have consequences. Look at me. Our actions have consequences. We don't hear this enough today. Our actions have consequences. Explanation number two. And this one's a little bit of a gut check, but maybe it's your fault. Maybe you caused it. Maybe a good explanation for why do bad things happen? Why is this terrible thing happening? It's really easy for us to blame God. Again, I don't know all your circumstances, and this doesn't apply to every circumstance, okay? So let me start with that. But it's really easy for us to look at God and go, God, why would you let this happen to me? How could you be so cruel, God? Well, we are never to blame, and the problem is always everyone else, isn't it? It's really easy to make the problem be everybody else. But there are a lot of times that if we're truly honest with ourselves, that God doesn't deserve the blame for our circumstances. God doesn't deserve the blame for our circumstances all the time. A lot of times we do. The pain, the heartache that we're going through, maybe it's self-inflicted. Look at what Paul said here in Galatians 6. He says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life." We reap what we sow, guys. If you bombed a test at school, it's not because God was punishing you. Maybe you just didn't study, right? We go, "God, thanks. Thanks for that F on the test. You didn't study, you dingus." You know what I mean? Your girlfriend dumps you, not because God wants you to be single forever. Maybe you treated her like crap, guys. Your best friend won't talk to you anymore. Not because God doesn't want you to have any friends, but maybe because you gossiped a whole lot about her. Right? Is it possible that the mess you're in, that the pain that you're going through, you're experiencing because of your own doing? Quite frankly, my story with that girl, that was my doing. That was not God's doing. But God was able to take that and use that. And I'll be talking more about that in a few minutes. But maybe the problem's not everybody else. And maybe the problem's not God. Maybe the problem is self-inflicted. Explanation number three is that maybe God wants to do something big in your life. A possible explanation about why bad things happen is that God has a tendency to want to use things in our life that are terrible, that are bad, and use them for the greater good. Does that mean that God is responsible for sin? No. No, it does not. Okay? God is completely perfect in every way. But what it does mean is that maybe God wants to take a negative situation or a tragedy and do something amazing with it that you never saw coming and maybe couldn't have happened had he not allowed you to go through that. Look at what it says in Romans 8:28. It says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Don't forget about that last part of that verse. Who have been called according to his purpose. This is a verse that's for believers. Those who've been called according to his purpose. And look, the breakup and stuff that I went through, it was incredibly painful and it rocked me and scarred me. And you never entirely 100% heal from something like that necessarily, for me personally. And I really struggled early on with understanding why God would allow that to happen. And I now can see how God used that to grow my faith, to grow my trust in him. And you know, I placed all of my worth and all of my identity in that relationship and in that girl. She had become an idol to me, quite frankly. And God wanted to be first in my life, but he was way down on the list, if there at all, in many, many ways. It started with her and trickled down. And it ended, to be honest, about the only way it probably could have. And the fact of the matter is, had it not been for that, hear me on this, look at me. Had it not been for that, what I consider a tragedy in my life and a terrible, terrible thing that made me question God, had it not been for that, I wouldn't be here right now. I wouldn't be here right now. You can trace a whole lot of things in my life back to that being a situation where my life could have gone this way or could have gone that way. I wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for that. And I also wouldn't have this if it wasn't for that. Yeah, that. Can we go back? I wouldn't have the amazing family. I wouldn't have an incredible wife. I wouldn't have any of this. What would happen if we saw our pain and suffering? If we saw our pain and suffering as opportunities for growth in our faith, opportunities for God to do something really big. Maybe God wants to use you, and God wants to use the situation that you're going through for healing and for reconciliation to what would otherwise be a negative and painful situation that could rock you to the core and ruin things. Instead, God can use it to build character and shape you to do something amazing with it. Because I'm telling you right now, I know I just said it before, I would not be a pastor and I would not be here and I would not have her or them or any of you had that girl not ripped my heart out and danced on it. That's just the truth. That is the truth of it. Here's the thing, we're asking the wrong question, guys, because why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? That's the question. That's actually not the right question. It's a flawed question because it makes an assumption about each of us that is just not true. And that assumption is that we are good. Because it says, why do bad things happen to good people? We like to think of ourselves generally as good. Even the person that you would maybe say, man, they're like the worst. That person is the worst. But if you ask them, do you think you're a good person? Even though they might be a complete tool, they'll be like, yeah, I'm good. I'm a good person. Yeah. Well, guess what? The Bible has something completely different to say about that. We all consider ourselves good, but the truth is, none of us are good. Romans 3, 10 through 12, there is no one righteous. This is not me just making scripture sound like how I want it to sound. Like, tell me what this says. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. It's pretty definitive there, right? So when we ask the question, God, why do you allow bad things to happen to good people? And God, why aren't you fair? As it turns out, God is not fair. You've probably not heard that before. God isn't fair. And you know why? Because if God was fair, we would get what we deserve, and that's death. We would get exactly what we deserve. God's not fair, and I praise him that he is not fair. We need to be thankful that good things happen to bad people. Instead of asking God, why do you allow bad things to happen to good people? We need to be thankful that God allows good things to happen to bad people. I don't deserve her or the amazing family or you guys that I have, not even a little bit. And God loves me enough to where I fortunately didn't screw it up, because I sure gave it a good college try. Psalm 103, verse 10 through 12 says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. In other words, God extends his grace and his mercy to us and his salvation when we are truly undeserving of it. He does not give us what we deserve. And because of Jesus, our sins are forgiven, and our relationships with God, with others, with ourselves, and with the world can actually be whole because of Jesus. We have a promise of eternity where this broken world doesn't exist, where sin doesn't exist, where pain doesn't exist, where death doesn't exist. No more crying, as it says in Revelation. No more tragedies, no more shootings. It's gonna be perfect with him. Everything will be as it was intended to be. And that's awesome. That's the best news. So tonight's connection point isn't actually the best in the world, because this is probably one of the toughest connection points I've ever tried to come up with to try to encompass this all in one thing is really hard to do. But the short answer, why do bad things happen to good people? No one is good and our world is broken. And yeah, those things are true. But there's a lot of layers to this answer, as you can see. There's a lot of pain, there's a lot of tragedy, and those things are real. I'm not minimizing those things, not even a little bit. But we need to keep in mind that God is not the cause of our heartache. God is not the cause of our heartache. We live in a broken world. We live in a jacked up world. And many times, we are responsible for the brokenness. We're responsible for the terrible experiences that we go through, because a lot of times they're self-inflicted. And at the same time, God has given us an answer. He sent Jesus into the mess that is us and gave us a way to have life. And life with him both now and forever. He takes bad experiences and the things that we go through, and he can transform them into something good and into something beautiful. Would you bow your heads so we can pray? I know for a fact that some of you are going through some junk right now. Some of you are going through some stuff. You're looking at past circumstances. You're looking at different things that have gone on in your life. And you've asked this question. And believe me, I get it. I don't get what you're going through or what you have gone through. But let me just say, God is not the source of those things. And I am thankful that in this broken world, we have a Savior that loves us no matter what. And no matter what you have gone through, no matter what you have done, hear that, no matter what you have done, no matter what you have been through, there is a God that loves you and wants to have a relationship with you and wants to be there for you to lean on, wants to put his arms around you, wants to bring you peace where you don't think you can have any, understanding where it doesn't make sense. And if you're not 100% sure that you're going to heaven, that's the first place that you need to start, because once you have a relationship with Jesus, then all of these things can start to maybe come around. And so if you don't know for sure, or maybe you just need prayer tonight, maybe you just need somebody to sit down and pray with you, either one of those things, you wanna know about salvation, you wanna know about having a relationship with Jesus, or you just need prayer for something that's going on in your life, would you be willing to look me right in the eye right now, just you and I? And we can talk, or we can pray together, or whatever that would be. And if I don't see you, I'm sorry, just come get me afterwards or get one of our leaders. There's tons of us. We would love nothing more than to sit and pray with you. Jesus, I love you, God, and I thank you so much that you love us. I thank you that you love us so much that you can use our pain, our tragedy, our heartache to do something awesome. And God, we can't always see it. We can't see it at the time when we're going through those terrible things, Lord. It stinks. But God, you're still there. You're still in control. You're still sovereign. You still love us. If we just be willing to turn to you. Lord, I pray for each and every student that's in here, for each and every leader. Lord, for anybody that's going through what maybe they would consider a tragedy, a terrible time right now that's making them question things. God, I pray that you would bring them peace, you'd bring them some answers, you'd bring them some understanding. And Lord, that you'd do something amazing through it. Thank you so much for your son, Jesus, the sacrifice that he made for us that we don't deserve. I thank you that we can have eternal life and that eternal life can start right now. So again, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, Father, I pray they make that decision before they walk out tonight. Thank you for the great night that we've had. We love you in Jesus' name.